Okay, so look, first,
all right, so here's what we're going to talk about, and here's my introduction. So if you read anything on the internet or the news, I doubt it'd be on mainstream media, they don't talk about this stuff, but it's out there. I got this off of CBN News. You can't read that. It's a very recent article on the 4th. There's others out there, but it talks about this, okay? Coming up, December 21st. Have you seen anybody seen this? What you got coming is, quote, the Star of Bethlehem is going to appear on December 21st, okay? Here's what astronomy says about the biblical star at Christ's birth. What's wrong with that? Nothing. Let's talk about it. Let's see, in fact, what did it say, because those of you that have seen some of what I'm going to show you again, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay? So, next thing, I have two little excerpts out of this article. What year was Jesus born? Anybody got a guess? Most people say from 6 BC or 7 up to 3 BC, and it's always based on someone else dying, because Jesus had to be born after he died. Who's the he? Herod. And so historians have looked to try and see when did Herod die, and they look at coinage, they look at stuff, okay? But here's what early church historians have been given: a date around 3 BC for Christ's birth, though other scholars have been saying 7 BC because of what appears to be a misunderstanding of Herod's death. So when did Herod die? Did he have to die after Jesus was born?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When did he die? They don't know. They figure it out from things. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. So that's what's going on there. Well, wait a minute. A.D., like A.D. is Anno Domini, which is year of the Lord. Well, isn't that the break? Wasn't he born in?
Zero.
Zero
B.C.
Yes. 0 B.C. or 0 A.D. What? Well, what's wrong with that? Well, the church, the big only church, 1100s, Pope Gregory, when don't quote me on none of that, but that's when they said, let's go figure this out. And so we got A.D., which is Anno Domini, that's, you know, now, and B.C., before Christ, which if you read any scholarly stuff now, even in seminaries, they don't say B.C., before Christ. What do they say? B.C.E., which is before the current era. So they've given the whole thing away, you know what I mean? Okay, so that's the problem is, when did Herod die? We know Jesus was born before then, because, and Jesus could have been up to how many years old when Herod said, go kill him?
Two.
From 0 to 2.
Two.
And what's that based on?
What is that based on? Scripture. Scripture says, you go kill all of the children that are
two and under.
So you got scripture for that. Okay, that's what you got. So we go with that, and that's what that is. Okay, so what's this deal on December 21st? Well, it's a conjunction, which I'm going to tell you more about, okay? But it's a conjunction of some stars and planets, okay? Yes?
But the three wise men. They're the ones who...
How many wise men?
7 or 8 of them.
Well, right, you don't know.
A whole bunch of them.
Go ahead.
Let me straighten that out.
Go ahead.
You can erase that. Anyway, when it was a Harriet, right?
Harriet.
And he the one who is, what are you here for? We come here to see the child.
Yes.
But when they were to go see the child, did he send them to kill those kids right after he left?
Oh, yeah. Well, right after? Well, after. Yes,
right. So he could.
How old was Jesus when the wise men would have shown up?
They said he was a baby.
No, well, up to two. And listen, when they showed up, that's one of your Christmas trivia questions is, how many wise men were at the manger when Jesus was born?
They don't say.
None were at the manger.
Well, it does. It says none. Okay. So the next trivia question is, how many wise men came to the house where Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were?
A whole bunch of them.
Well, and it don't say. So, but they would travel in groups, for sure. So, right on. Very good. That's it. Okay. But when they went home a different way, that's when Herod said, hey, where is this supposed to happen, blah, 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 and go get them, go kill them, and all that. Okay?
True, because he said he'll wait for them to come back.
Yeah, he said, you go, and I'm going to go worship him, too.
Yeah, let me know what you have.
Wink, wink, you know. Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so anyway, here's what happened is that we now, here's the article, we now know that these conjunctions, remember, back then, they didn't distinguish between planets and stars, right? Those are all heavenly beings or heavenly objects or whatever. So these conjunctions of planets and stars meant, what they meant to these magi, Petronomat, as they would have observed from their far-off land. They involved the constellation Leo. Okay, Leo, that's the biggest star in the constellation of the Lion. Think Lion of Judah. Nothing wrong with that. The planet Venus and the planet Jupiter and the star Regulus. Regulus means king. That's king star. All of that stuff plays into it. So, okay, you got it in the news right this minute. Okay, and do it mean that Jesus was born on December 25th?
No,
it doesn't mean that, but it meant something to them, and that's why you got to get it straight about even when did the Magi show up? When did they even leave Babylon and start coming? Right? You know? Because they were not there that night. It's clear in Scripture, it says they came to the house where they were, and they offered. And why do we think there was three?
The number of gifts.
Very good. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So that's why we think that. Okay? So anyway, go back around right there. And let me see how I want to do this. I want to do this by introducing kind of what was talked about this morning in the sermon. And so let me go here. This is always dangerous when I get off the little normal track. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want you to understand. We just finished Genesis, been in that thing for 2+ years, right? I want you to turn to Genesis 49. We're going to just look at a quick verse there, but I'm going to take you on a survey just through three places. And I'm going to show you what all three of these places were talking about, okay? So go to Genesis 49. And what's the setting here? We just did it a few weeks ago. Jacob blessing the son before he dies, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know what version or translation you've got, but just look at verse number 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the blank." What you got?
Days to come.
Happen to you.
In what?
Days to come.
Yes. Somebody else?
Last days.
Days to come, future. Okay, you hear that? Somebody else. He's got last days. Somebody had final days.
End of days.
Latter end of days.
That's better. Let me tell you what Hebrew would say. I don't know no Hebrew other than I know this. Akari ha yamin. Okay? The latter of the days. Yom. You know what a yom is, a day. Yamim is a plural days. Ha. You know what ha is. The. And Akarit is the latter end, the final end of the days. Now, if your Bible don't say that, it's just because they soften it a little and they say in the future or in the days to come. Okay? But look, he's telling them these things, they're all going to be fulfilled in a certain time. And where I'm getting my deal is from the complete Jewish Bible, which is Christian Jews, and they say, hey, that Akarit Hayamim, That's an understood deal. That's at the end of time. I mean, end of their time. Look what I got right here. Oh, do I need to back up one, maybe? Oh, man. Let me get organized. Oh, here we go. Oh, man. I borrowed this from a friend of mine, Dave Curtis, and he exposed, I don't want him to do fancy stuff. Look, if you're a Jew or an Israelite, you're wearing a turban on your head every day and long robes, you think of ages. There's two of them on the board. And that ages is, what's this one? Real easy. This age. What's the one on the right? Age to come. And you got another age right here, which we just read of, which is the age of the, I'm not going to spell it out, age of the patriarchs. Patriarchs went from Adam to the end of Genesis. Who? Joseph. Jacob. You got it? Now look, when you're reading in the Bible, if you don't get your mind with a turban on your head, you do not know that they are thinking in the term of three ages. Age of the patriarchs, it ends at Genesis. What's the next page? Turn it. Exodus. What does that begin?
Moses.
It begins this age, the age of
Moses.
So, in Jesus' time, even in Jacob, he's telling them, this is going to happen at the latter end of the age. And that's the first mention. There's a hermeneutical principle, mostly in Genesis, but also in the other Pentateuchal books. Law of first mention. When something's mentioned the first time, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. Okay? And I'm going to show you that in a minute. But Jacob mentions the latter days. The end of the days. Teresa's version. The latter. Is that NASB or what you got?
I looked it up.
Oh, you wrote it in there. Okay. Right on. Right on. That's what you do. And Patrick. Patrick probably using your
NIV.
No, you ain't got NIV. You got the other one.
The net
Bible. And the net Bible has notes this long. And even though they decide on a certain word, they usually give you a lot of the others. It's very good.
As end of days and the end of days.
Orthodox Jews still believe they're right here. Because what comes at the end of their age? The Messiah age. Okay, we didn't ask that question, but Moses, and the next one is called Messiah. Okay? So, Moses, Messiah. Moses, Messiah. You got to get that right. Because if you don't get that right, you're going to be reading your New Testament, and like I was taught, we're in the church age, and the church age is what all the end stuff is talking about. Thus, at the end of the church age, that's when we're expecting the things of the end. Well, I don't think the Bible teaches that, okay? In fact, the Bible is specifically, explicitly clear that there's no end to the church age. And that's a different distinction. Right now, I just want you to get in your mind, if you're an Israelite, how many ages are you thinking? One of the patriarchs. We just did it for 2 years. Next, the age of Moses that lasted 1,600 years, let's say. But it was waiting for the age of Messiah. That's it. And when Jacob is talking about the latter end of the days, I'm telling you where he's talking about. These days. There was an end of these days. Now let me see if this works. Wherever I put it, let me just.
Your clicker's up.
My clicker
is up.
Right here. Thank you. But this didn't happen in one day. It morphed. There was an old age of Moses still in place. That's the green. There was a new age of Messiah that had started. I only show you this because we're going to show you a couple more scriptures. When is this beginning of the blue point made? Would you say?
The birth of Christ.
Birth of Christ. How many like that? I do. Because Jesus, 30 years old, he came and he said, the time. John Baptist said something. The time has been fulfilled. Or the time is near. The time is ingus, at limb. This is how close it is. That's it. So I think birth of Jesus is when the king was born. King was born. And guess what happens to his kingdom and that age? Well, guess what also is happening at the same time to Moses' age? Moses' age was never intended to be eternal. It was a means to an end. And who's the end? It's Christ. It's the seeking and saving that which was lost. And look, C.F. morphed immediately this morning from seeking that which was lost, and he went into saving people. A people ain't of that. What he right before then, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. That's the that, I think. I could be wrong. Salvation, reconciliation, restoration. That's what Jesus came to seek and save. that relationship. But anyway, that ain't a big deal. Are you with me here? So this one ends at the end of Genesis, Joseph, kaput. Start with Moses, looking for Christ. When does Christ age end? That's the church age. That's the messianic age. Never. And I'll show you some scripture. Okay, with that in front of you, we just read Jacob, 49. Now go to Deuteronomy 31. I just want you to see something. Deuteronomy 31. We ain't gonna stay here long. Deuteronomy 31. You should have something in there that's called the Song of Moses if you have uninspired headers or whatever. This is where they're about to go in the Promised Land. How long has it been right now since Egypt? How long? 40 years, my grandpa would say. Okay, so 40 years. And he's telling them what's going to happen to them. Anyway, so look in 31, verse number 16. Lord said to Moses, Moses, you're going to go rest with your fathers or be gathered to your people. Huh? Similar? That's Jacob. Okay. Rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and be such stars in my parade. No, they're going to play the harlot with gods of foreign lands. Where they go, they're going to forsake me, break my covenant which I have made. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day. Anybody got anything else? That day. No, that day? That day's okay. Okay. That day. Which day? Or whatever day he's about to tell
them. That very day.
That very day. All right, I'm going to show you. And God tells him what that very day is. Go to verse 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day. Well, I should have read 17. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say, in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Yes. I will surely hide my face in that day. Because of what? All the evil which they have done. He's looking 1,600 years down the road. 1,600 years. And I'm going to prove it to you right now. Drop down to verse number 24. So it was, when Moses completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that's probably the book of Deuteronomy, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the ark, take this book, put it beside the ark of the covenant, Lord your God, Yahweh your God, may be there as a witness against you. 27, here we go. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. If today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord, Yahweh, then how much more after my death? Well, answer the question rhetorically, a lot. Worse. Gather to me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, that I may speak to them in their hearing and call heaven and earth to witness. What does that mean? But call against them. Here it is. For I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt. Anybody got a different deal than utterly corrupt?
No.
That's bad. That's really bad. And turn aside from the way. Remember, the way. People of the way, which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the blank, blank. What do you got?
Latter days.
Days to come.
Days to come.
Consistent. Yes.
Final days
or latter days or in the future. But no, look, you've got to stick with the Hebrew theme. Akarit ha-yamin. That's what this would be in the complete Jewish Bible. That's it. It's the same days that Jacob said. When those 12 boys were going to get their final fulfillment of their prophecy, and Moses is saying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the latter days because you do evil in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger to work your hand. And then 32. 32 is the Song of Moses. And 32 says, it's going to be bad. So I'm just telling you that.
Well, wait a minute.
Yes.
Well, we know that they really truly fell apart in 1st and 2nd Kings, and then they went to Babylon.
Yes.
But is that the day to come, or is the Revelation the day to come?
This age to come includes, well, let me say this one. The latter days are still meaning the latter days of their Moses age. Okay? And so, the question you're asking, where does Revelation fit? Does it fit here?
It was more of their
It includes the death of the 10, which you accurately said. It includes the exile of the 2. Yes. But it also includes, wait, I got to bring that exile couple of tribes back. Why? Because I'm not done yet until I get to this point where Jesus arrives.
Okay, so just then, First and Second Kings would be considered the age of Moses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, all the way to Malachi is considered the age of Moses. Oh, but wait, what about Matthew? What age did Jesus live in?
Two ages.
Did he live in the old age?
Yes.
Because did he keep the law?
Yes.
Did he require to keep the law? Did he also live in the age? He's your transition during a transition period.
But you said that the Orthodox Jew was still living in the age of Moses.
Absolutely. And do y'all agree with that? I think that.
They would have to be consistent in their mind.
Yes.
That's where they would have to be.
They would have to still be here waiting on Messiah. Mm-hmm. Yes? Now, let's go to the time period you're talking about, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. Okay, they go to exile. Let's go to Daniel. All right, yes, come.
And just to kind of clarify, the Jews, they're not living in that age. They're acting like they're living in that age because they're actually in the same age that we are.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, just to be clear.
To be clear, what do they think? Well, they think they're still in this, but how do you know they're not in this? Because they have no religious connection to the Bible. They have no priesthood, have no temple, they have no sacrifice, have no religion. They have no Mosaic. They have no Mosaic religion. They have a Talmudic religion, which is very bastardized. It is terrible. It is grievous in most of its stuff. They are not godly people.
No.
I don't care what their hair looks like or wearing a cap or nothing. They are not godly people. It's a false religion. Is Judaism. Now, after Jesus comes.
Well, I was just going to say the current nation of Israel, they don't have any idea where they came from, right?
Well, we know. If you want to know where the current nation of people came from in Israel, just go, you have to go back and look in the year 800 BC, okay, 800 AD, in a country called Khazar, K-H-A-Z-A-R, and their ruler, King Bulamai. Anyway, it don't matter his name. He said, I'm either going to make our country be Christian, Judaism, or Muslim. At that time, Mohammedanism. And he chose Judaism. They became that. Okay, that's in Russia, Khazaria. Those people immigrated down south to Poland, Lithuania, Eastern Europe. Got it? They stayed there. That was their place until Second World War, 1930s, when Germany starts killing them all. Okay, they were Jews. Are they of a Jewish blood?
No,
that's a big deal too. Why are they not of Jewish blood, or if they got any, they can't prove it?
No records.
What happened to the records?
It's all destroyed.
They were destroyed right here at the end of Moses' age because God said in that way, I don't care who your Old Testament daddy was. I don't care if you go back to Genesis 49, Jacob. I don't care about that. I want to know, are you of Abraham? Does that make sense to you? Which means, are you of Abraham's seed? Which means, are you of Christ? That's what's going on. You've got to understand where you are when you're reading your Bible. Okay? Look, go look it up yourself if you have an encyclopedia, which nobody does no more. But you look at any encyclopedia and you look under Jewish race, and all of them will say the same thing. There is no such thing as a Jewish race. A race meaning similar things, you know, our blood, our DNA, our feature. No more. Jews are in every race because it's a religion now. Make sense? If you ain't heard this, that's just the way it is, okay? That's the way it is. No Jewish race. And Jews are religious of that. Or cultural. Some of them are cultural. Hey, my daddy was a Jew, my mama was a Jew. Are they religious? No.
Well, then who did they give when the United Nations established Israel? Who did they give it to?
To a nation called Israel that had immigrated from, where I'm telling you, up in Eastern Europe. Who gave it to them? The United Nations which was backed mostly. Look, Palestine had been under the rule of England since England finished World War I. They knocked the Turks out. Turks, Mohammedans, okay, they're gone now. England was taking care of that little piece of dirt, okay? And there was for decades, there was this group of people, Theodore Herzl was his name, seeking to have a, quote, homeland for the Jews. And that's how Britain, under the Balfour Declaration, and the United Nations, right after World War II, 1945, allowed Israel to take over that land mass. And why did conservative right-wing Christians allow that? Because the Bible says it.
Yeah, because we thought the, well, I mean, we say that the land belongs to Israel.
For how long?
But for who? But now, who is Israel?
To an age.
That's right. Yeah. And look, land, is it talking about that dirt? All that. Look, those are all big questions. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to get us to where Jesus was born. So, I gave you Genesis and Jacob. Akarit HaYamin, the latter end of the days. I gave you Moses saying, bad stuff's going to happen to y'all at this latter end of the days. And guess what? That's going to be so bad that I'm going to poof you. Poof. Gone. Mostly gone. Spread you out. We're never going to find you again. Come.
Is that what Jesus is referring to in Matthew 23?
Matthew 23, leading into 24, where Jesus says all of these things, which is all of the righteous blood from Abel all the way to Zechariah, son of Berechiah, he slew before the altar. It's going to come on this generation. Which one? This one. Not some future one. The Jews have been still, even today, you would say, definitely under Hitler's Germany, they've been run out. Even during the New Testament, when in Acts it says Paul met the guy and his wife, Priscilla and Aquila, because they had to leave Rome because Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome. What's going on? Well, they were troublemakers. They were rabble risers. Some of the stuff they were talking about, who he called the Jews, had to do with this man named Crestus, who some said he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all of this stuff was creating such a consternation in Rome that he kicked them out of the city. That's Acts 16, 18, wherever Paul meets Priscilla and Aquila. You can read it there. So look, Jews have been
they've never had a homeland.
They you heard of the wandering Jew, they don't have a homeland, all that stuff. But they were denigrated, they were hurt, they were always whatever word I'm trying to think of. Okay, all through the years. But look, Jews should not be treated that way. There was only one generation that was responsible for their bad stuff. And that was their last generation that Jacob talked about, latter end of the days, that Moses talked about, your latter days, and I'm about to show you in Daniel that said, at the time of the end. That's the only generation. Peter at Pentecost on Acts 2 called it, remove yourself from this perverse generation. How long is a generation? Hint, hint, hint. A biblical generation is about 40 years. So, look, that generation, the one that Brooke said Jesus was castigating, the Pharisees and them, in Matthew 23, he said, all the blood, all this righteous blood, it's coming on this generation. Not forever, not the future. It's done. This morning, I'll clean up one thing. C.F. said, God still has wrath, or whatever he said. God ain't angry no more. Oh, and he said it's because of the rebellion that he sees. See, depending on if you're a futurist or a pastist, there's no more rebellion. Jesus handled it all. And that means Jesus handled the rebellion of the spirit realm. That's Genesis 6. Mm-hmm. Jesus handled the rebellion of man. That's Genesis 3. And Jesus handled, how do we define handle? The rebellion of the nations, which was Genesis 10 and 11, Tower of Babel. Jesus handled that. And so, I'm okay with saying, okay, God is still angry. No, God finished his anger. Because Revelation chapter 14 says, in the final bowl that's poured out, that orge, the wrath of God, is complete. So depending on when you think that happened, the wrath is complete. Today, God is a just judge. He ain't mad, okay, when he gives salvation to some and he gives righteous judgment to others. It's not. You hope that a judge does not do that through anger, don't you? He does it through the law, through righteousness. And I believe that's where God is Now, not to make light of sin. Yes.
It seems if he was still angry, it would be kind of a sort of putting Christ's sacrifice on a very smaller scale than it should be. If it took away, if he took on the wrath, he handled God's wrath.
That's my point, is that Jesus' sacrifice and his whole messianic work, I'm going to say, handled the rebellion. Everything he did, because it wasn't just the cross. If he died on the cross and nothing happened after that, what good would that be? Mary, nothing, okay? No, he had to rise. He had to ascend and take the reign of David, which David reigned in the Old Testament for how many years?
40.
Guess 40. And if you understand, you will see that Jesus reigned in the New Testament over a new Israel for how long? 40 years. From ascension until destruction of Jerusalem, guess how many years? Guess how many years?
40.
A 40-year reign. And now Jesus is, he's the ruler of everybody, but in a way he had to fulfill being the David, right? So he did that first, but now he rules all nations, all tribes, all tongues, all that. Anyway, that's what's going on.
Truth be told, he ruled from the beginning to the end.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But his beginning was as God, the second person of the Trinity. And I'm talking now about his ruling as a man. Even a God-man. Is that okay? But when did he begin ruling as a God-man? Man. God-man. Can you say this? Do you agree with that? Because I think so. The king had arrived. Now, he didn't take his throne yet. I'm okay with that. He had work to do. He was a suffering servant king. He had to do that. And he had to be universally alive, which means got to die, but got to rise as a man. He did all that as the God-man. See, I said this morning, what God would have done this? The answer being, our God. Yeah, that's neat. Okay, let's finish today with Daniel. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Okay, if you want some good work on this, I got it on that other slide, but let me just leave this up here. John Rosenberger, his website, talks about Jesus' birth and stuff like that. Let me find Daniel 9. Because Daniel 9. Oh, Chris talked about that this morning. Daniel. Okay, Daniel, very, very beloved prophet, much beloved. He knows that Jeremiah said, you're sending us away for how many years? 70. Okay, Daniel's old. Daniel says, hey, Yahweh, you said 70. It's getting to be 70. What about it? That's what he's saying in Daniel 9, first part. You got it? Daniel gets some timing verses. Daniel gets some timing verses. Verse 20. Somebody else read. From 20 down to, the end of the chapter. Okay, this is famous stuff, still highly debated by futurists who think Daniel is still talking about the future versus pastists who believe Daniel is talking about this end right here. So somebody read that, please, from 20 to the end of the chapter, please.
Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh my God, half of the holy mountain of my God. While I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the command is issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding.
All right, listen.
70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah, the Prince, will be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks it will be built again, with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even the end, there will be a war. Desolations are determined. desolation of the terminal. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, poured out on one who makes desolate.
Okay, so here's what we got. 70 weeks, Daniel says. Daniel's praying. We're done, aren't we? 70 years? Why was 70 years the length of the exile? It's in the previous chapter.
So they ignored the Sabbath for 70 years.
The Sabbath for 70 Sabbaths, and the Sabbath came around every 7 years, okay? So here's you, John Rosenberger, thank you. 70 Sabbaths, and they should have done one every 70 years, which is 490 years. Got that? Think about it. Anyway, that's why God said, you didn't let the land rest. I'm going to give you the rest. Now, what John takes, and I love it, is that in 490 years, which is 70 Sabbaths, how many Jubilee Sabbaths should they have had? John, give us the quick answer. One every 49 years, which is 10, right? 49 of it. And add that up. Well, just so happens it's 500. Just so happens that Daniel is told here that how many years they got to do again? 490. How many Jubilees would be in that? 10. That's 500 more. 500 plus 500 is 1,000. And I encourage you to go read and understand what 1,000 means, okay? Because that's a big deal. But anyway, John's a little deep for me sometime. I got to read it more than once. But okay, so Daniel is told when this is going to happen and when. At the end of 62 weeks, and then you got seven more, which is 69 weeks, okay? No, I got that right.
Yeah.
Okay, and then, so now, pick it up at verse number where he read at 26. I should have put that back for 7 weeks and 62 weeks. But anyway, at the end of the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. And well, look, back up to 25, sorry. 25 tells you when Jesus is going to come. Verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command, what command? To rebuild the temple. Well, it says to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Until Messiah the Prince. There's 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks. I put, anyway, this should be 7 and 62. Got that wrong. 69 weeks. So after 69 weeks, who comes? Messiah. How did the Magi know to be looking for him? Got Daniel's deal. How did the Pharisees know to be looking for him? How did all of Israel know to be looking for this? And they would even go to John the Baptist and say, you're him. Are you him? Are you him? They were waiting. They knew. All of Second Temple Judaism was waiting. Why? Right here. Right here. They knew. From Daniel's time, when Cyrus, or whoever you think, issued the final decree to go rebuild the temple. Here it is, 69 weeks. And then, after the 62 weeks, verse 26, Messiah shall be, what do you got? What do you got? Messiah shall be cut off. What do that mean? Die on the cross. Die. Die. Okay? That's what it means. Read your note. It's got to say that. And then it says, and then the people of the prince, you got to decide who that is, who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And it's talking about in the middle of that week, the middle of the last week, okay, that's when Jesus was probably killed, okay? That's when the covenant was ultimately made. I give you this covenant, communion, all that stuff. Anyway, I don't want us to go too long. I'm just showing you here that these three are consistent, all the way from Jacob, all the way with Moses, all the way with Daniel, and you find it in every other prophet. They were talking about the age of Moses, which was to come to an end. It was set to come to an end because it was bringing in the messianic age, which never ends. That's where we live. We live there. So, now I was not taught this way. I was taught that Israel is it. 1948, New Israel. Hal Lindsey, I read all of Hal Lindsey's books. Today you buy them for a nickel. Okay? Forget about it. But he says 1948. He says, what's a generation? 40 years. 1988, I was a new Christian in 82. 1988, that's the end. And at first he had said, oh wait, we got a 7-year tribulation, back it up to 1981. By the time I was reading that book, it's done past. So he had to revise stuff. But look, you got to decide what, and that's why even after the first of the year, I intend to get into the two views, futurism or pastism, futurism or preterism it's called. We're going to talk about that. But I just want you to be clear about what you're reading when you're reading your New Testament. It's in a transition period. The old covenant is still there. Paul is still going, and the Jews are still going to the temple, and they're doing it, and they're giving sacrifices. And yet Paul is telling Christians, don't do that circumcision stuff. Don't do that sacrifice stuff. Don't do that stuff, right? How can that be at the same time? Well, it can. It's just because one is going away, one is arising. At the same time. Same time. That's it. That's what it is. So, comments, questions? Next week we're going to do.
All right. I was just going to say, you mentioned Hal Lindsey. You remember back in 2012, the Mayan calendar?
Yes.
It was going to be the end of the world?
Yes.
I read or heard just recently that that actually was a transposed number. It wasn't 2012, it was 2021.
Here's what I know. I have a lot of books on my shelf, and they all deal with, ever since the beginning, the patristics, okay, the early church fathers, and all of them, this guy put together this catalog of how many people have predicted the end. And the one thing that's common with all of those people in this 200-page book is what?
They've all been wrong.
Yeah, comment.
You have the age to come as beginning at the birth of Christ and this age ending 40 years later. But would the Mosaic age, would it have ended then or at 70 AD?
This guy would say, this is my friend David Curtis, he would say that the church really started at Pentecost, which is when the Spirit comes and the church begins.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Okay.
So he says from Pentecost,
Well, that would make sense. From Pentecost to 70 AD would be the 40 years.
That's it.
Yes. Yes.
So he dates it from here. I would date it from when Jesus was born. The king is here. The kingdom, therefore, is arrived. Okay, that's coming. Yes.
So he believes, he calls that age to come the church age? Is he
He would say, there's no biblical reference to a church age, so he probably would not. I use that just because people say, well, when we're reading about the end of the age in the Bible, that's the end of the church age, when Jesus comes back. No, there's no end to the church age, Ephesians 3:21. This is the age that had an end. The Messiah's age will never end. The king never dies. His subjects never die. You're never going to die. You're going to die. But you're going to die, right? This age never ends, never shrinks, never gets smaller. It has people at two places, around the footstool, the earth, and around the throne. Whatever we do, I don't know.
Well, the Bible actually says it's the increase will never cease. Not that it's going to go away, but it is always going to continue increasing.
She's quoting Isaiah 9. Of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. Very perceptive. Very good. So even it's never going to stop increasing. Very good. You had your hand up, somebody.
Just in case this is new to anyone, and it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, something you've gone over before that always helped me was the typology of back the Exodus from Egypt being delivered out of, that being the same as being delivered out of bondage of sin and then into the kingdom, into the promised land. That being that 40-year transition period.
Excellent.
Seeing that, how that lined up, man, that, I can't help but always going back to that.
Excellent. So you're really saying, from here to here, Craig, right? 40 years is the same. That's the second Exodus and final Exodus. Out of old Egypt and sin and into the new land, the new Jerusalem, the body, the temple, Zion, all that. Beautiful. That's it. Listen, if you want a great study, and CF, if he goes through Exodus next, which I don't know if you're going to, I'm going to study with us the second Exodus to show, and this is Hebrews 4, 3 and 4, Hebrews where he said, back then when Moses and Joshua couldn't bring him into the land, couldn't do this, okay? But they called it today. And the Hebrew writer says, and so now, even while it's called today, don't you yourself miss coming out of this into this, because he's writing the Hebrews.
And he says today, but he defines it as a 40-year today. What do you do with that? Accept it. It was a 40-year today back then in Exodus, and it was a 40-year today when they were going into the new Exodus, second, final Exodus. Yes, come to.
Just because Craig brings that up, and then another topic we don't always throw into this, but it's that 40 years, and you mentioned David and Christ and all this, and,
yeah.
And it's 1 Samuel 15, when Saul comes back as a bleeding sheep and all this mess, and Samuel, you know, slaps him upside the head, and he says at that time, and this is at the beginning of Saul's reign.
Yes.
And he says, the kingdom has been taken from you and given to another, right? It's going to take 40 years for that to take place, and yet you have, you ask how can these two systems exist? And he's told at that time, it's been taken, it's been given. He's going to reign 40 years, and David's coming on the scene.
Yes.
And then in Matthew 21, you get it said to the Pharisees, the kingdom has been taken from you and given to another who will. In the middle of this 40, I mean, it just, there's so many types.
Here's Saul. Hey, it's going away, Saul, even though Saul was on the front end. David had already been anointed. So David is growing, even though he's waiting for Saul to be gone. And then what he quotes in, when Jesus says, hey, the kingdom has been taken from you and given to a nation, a people that are barely free. Beautiful, beautiful. You see, those things are just all there. Type, fulfillment. It's just everywhere. Okay, we got to stop. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, Father, thank you for showing us what a plan you did. As CF asked the question, what God could do this? We gave the answer, our God. And aren't we glad and graced and blessed that you've made us your people? In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.